So we just pray. Heavenly Father, we again privilege people to be here in your presence. We know, Lord, you're here. It's a great mystery. And yet, Father, we believe the truth as it was set forth, that the prophet's message was to declare that you were here, knowing, Lord, that it was a new message, not a patch on an old garment. Therefore, it was a new revelation of the presence, which he said, Lord, happened three times in the history of man, Moses, Paul, and now. And Lord, we have every reason to believe that we are now meeting all the conditions of the rapture, just waiting for a catching away. And since we have entered into the first phase, and we know that none plucked you, us out of your hands, we know that the second and third phases will certainly take place. As the prophet said three times, thus it has been spoken, thus it shall be. So, Lord, we know that this word that we have today is eternal, and it's eternal in its concept, eternal in its fulfillment, and eternal in its end, that there's not one jot or tittle going to fail, but it's all sustained by you, and we appreciate that very much. So, therefore, Lord, our faith is not of ourselves, but it is of you. Our revelation is not of ourselves, it is of you. And all things are of God, and we stand now in that perfection of the last hour. We believe that, Lord. We don't look at ourselves, we look at you. And we know because of that, the image is going to appear. So, Father, we just look to you this morning now for a further study of your word, a further deepening of our faith, more solid than ever, coming like Abraham to full assurance. We know just where we stand as the prophet brought it to us. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to go to the unveiling of God. And I didn't get anything run off for you by the copier, but we might catch up later on. I'm going to start on page 3, where Brother Branham begins the prayer, and he said, before reading, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thy word is truth, and in this troublesome hour that we're living, nation against nation, pestilence, earthquakes in many places, man's heart's failing for fear, we see the handwriting on the wall. Now that is in the natural realm, that all the world should see this, but now there is a spiritual realm also, and we see the great happenings, and we want to speak of them today. Now, you'll notice in here you have parallelism of Scripture again, where he says there, this is in the natural. And what they see in the natural, then there has to be a spiritual for it, particularly if you're in a juncture period, a time where something is going on, as we know that it says in 1st and 2nd Peter both, this epical season. Now, this is the hour of the appearing and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he's talking about. You see the signs fulfilled in the physical, so therefore there has to be the signs fulfilled in the spiritual. And as always, people don't get the spiritual. They see the physical, but they can't get the spiritual. The spiritual is reserved for the elect. So remember, there's always cursing and blessing. And I tried to show you that from some scripture. I never did go into it thoroughly with you, but you'll find in the Bible, always there is Mount Abel, which is evil, and cursing, and Mount Gerizim, which is blessing. And you'll notice that on there, the 12 sons were divided up. And I kind of look at that today to realize that the bride receives all the blessings, and she gets caught away in the rapture, like it says, 1,000 shall fall at thy left hand, 10,000 at thy right, and it shall not come near thee. Now, that could be the AIDS, it could be any type of plague, but it looks like it's got to be something coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and since the church has gone the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, they've got to be judged. So you see judgment and you see blessing. Now, the point is, everybody can look at the judgment side and see this out here in nature, and they know something's happening. But what was not done in a corner, the tremendous ministry of Brother Branham has been sloughed to one side. See? Now, that's what he's saying here. But now there is something in the spiritual realm. He said, great happenings, and we want to speak of them today. And you notice the subject is the unveiling of God. There's something great happening. And that's an unveiling of God. You follow me? Now, you want to watch his prayers. Now, bless thy word to our hearts. In other words, there's something going to come out of the word now that's going to be parallel to the judgments and the problems that the word says will be here. Okay? We know that there's no man in heaven or earth is worthy to take this book, to loose the seals, or to look upon it even. But there was one appeared, a slain lamb, bloody, that came and took the book, and was worthy and able to open it. Oh, remember the Lamb of God shut the book back there in the time of his ministry on earth. You know, back there in Luke 4. Now, he shut the book as a human being. He would have to be the same one glorified to come and open that book to take it again. And remember, that was the acceptable year of the Lord at that time, which it was. And when the book opens again, there's to be judgment, but also there's to be a blessing with it. At the same time, to comfort them that mourn and so on, to tell Zion, hey, look, this is the hour for your redemption. So you see, you've got all these things coming upon the earth, but it says, look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. Now, that redemption not going to be the clouds breaking. Hallelujah, there he is. Your redemption lies in Revelation. You follow me? Now, that's what he's bringing out here, so we want to watch this carefully. It's not the bleeding lamb that's here this morning. It's Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire. Okay? Now, to open thy words to our hearts, for comfort. See, for comfort. Notice over here is not comfort. Men's hearts are failing for fear. But here is comfort. See, remember we brought scripture out in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. But you are troubled, rest with us, relax at this time. Brother Branham's under the seven seals, relaxation. Okay? We are your servants. Forgive our sins, Lord, and anything that would keep the word from going forth with power, great power and influence, today on our lives, take it away, Lord. Any hindrance, that we might have full access to all the blessings promised to us through thy word, we ask it in Jesus' name. Now, you notice in here that he's invoking God to bring into effect, with no hindrances, we getting all hindrances out of the way through the blood and all that which God has given us to give us redemption, so that the having access to the word, the blessings which the word is pronounced will then be in us and for us. Now, look, a lot of things for you doesn't do you too much good. Like Brother Nelson talking about the light the other night, the diamond flashing. Well, that's very good. You can look at your wife's diamond all you want, and you can look at somebody else's life and this and that, but unless that life is in you, the light's in you, what good does it do? You know, let's face it, except that I'd be single, you got a lot of problems. And so, therefore, you've got to get your eyes single to what is going on. Lift up your hearts and get away from all this other thing that's out here and just center yourself on that word and ask God, look, take everything out of my life in order that this fullness of the word and the blessings that are therein may be mine. Now, Brother Branham actually taught that. Now, he told you that there's no evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. There's nothing physical. There's nothing emotional. And then he said, you go up into it. Now, he never did say, hey, there's no such thing as a rebirth. He never said that. Now, when you got a rebirth, you know positively that you can start growing according to 1 Peter and coming to the full stature. Now, Brother Branham absolutely, in my books, exonerated what I call the old Puritan concept or the Keswick Conference concept. Now, just foreign to most of you people, because you haven't read perhaps after men like Patterson, McShane, Murray, and back in the days of Myers and those men, especially the Gordons, S.D. and A.J. Gordon. And I think it was S.D. wrote the Quiet Talks. It was A.J. He was pastored Boston. Men of that caliber. And what they would say was this. Now, you see a little stream of water, and this stream of water is very shallow, and there's lots of rocks. Oh, my, it makes a noise like a cat. It bubble, bubble, babble, babble, noise, noise, noise. Now, you get a big, deep river and way above the rocks and all, and it doesn't run with a lot of noise. So there's right there, the river signifies there's two kind of Christians. All those that have the empty wagon shout and a lot of rocks, you know, those that have the full depth of the Lord and the deepness of God, they're moving in the Spirit. Now, the Keswick Conference practice, and I think Edwin Orr also is in that category as a modern preacher, and perhaps a Ravenhill, no doubt, men like that. Now they say, listen, here's what it's all about. You take a bottle, then you fill it full of rocks. All right, now you start pouring in water. That would be the initial baptism with the Holy Ghost. You follow me? Okay, you pour in the water, and you say, the bottle is full of water. Oh, no, it's not. It's full of water and rocks. Now, you start taking out the rocks one by one, and you keep pouring in water. See? And there comes a time when there are no more rocks. It's all water. Now, you see, that's what Brother Branham was preaching for the end time. You get rid of your unbelief. You get rid of these things that are in there, and you keep pouring the word in. The life in the word will bring you to the place where you are completely sealed in by God. Now, you see, well, that's a true baptism with the Holy Ghost. Well, the other's just true. But you're coming out to the Spirit-filled, dominated light. Now, that's what Brother Branham is presenting here, in my understanding, and trying to help us, and may by the grace of God we get all these things out of our lives, so there is no... We'll see that later on, and we get 2 Corinthians there again. But get everything out of our lives that would hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit. Because there's nothing worth retaining to get the good things of God. Remember, the man sold everything he had to get the pearl of great price. See, the Bible is strong on that. Remember, many people say, well, all of God or nothing. Now, that's not true. That's not true. You can be saved and still make the white throne. But bride is a different category, and God expects the best out of her. And whom he loves, he chastens. He wants to bring us to a perfection. And that perfection, as I preach here and try to preach here, is you've got to start with this word, because there's where the life is. Now, I don't care how mechanical people think, say, well, I don't like your church, Brother Vail, where you and Brother Clausen are, because you're not noisy enough. You can have all the noise you want. You can scream all you want, but just be very careful. Just be very careful. See, well, we like a lot of miracles. I'm happy for healings. I want them just as desperate as anybody does. But Brother Branham said, if you receive this message, he said, believe this message for your healing. Now, that's going to tell us something right there. Now, I'm looking at that with all I can, and I'm going to look at it more by the grace of Almighty God. Now, all right, there's a lot of things people look at, and they say, I want this, and I want that, the other thing. But the great thing in my, as I was saying here, the mechanical has within it the spiritual. It has the dynamic. And you can take a walnut, and that walnut, I want to tell you, a walnut's a very funny bird. It's a nut, you know. It's a very funny thing. And you get a walnut here, and a walnut tree, and you just try to grow something in your garden with a walnut tree. You aren't going to grow a thing. It's a killer. Now you take and you take that whole walnut and lay it out there and it looks like a killer, and it certainly does separate. It just kills everything around it, but there's a life in there. Now you get the walnut of God, it'll kill everything around you, because that's what that life in that mechanical thing. You see, that's the mechanical part I'm talking about. But you let that thing begin to move, and it begins moving out here and just gets all the junk out of our lives so the life can be there. So what we're saying here is, look, like we're trying to believe. I'm trying to believe like Brother Branham. I'm hoping I'm preaching the same thing. Look, God, you give us this word here, and you give us vessels that are the ground of God. He said, if you get the ground that's got the right fertilizer, use the word fertilize, which is the verb, it's not need to know, the right fertilizer. And he said that's been given, so that that life that's in there can draw and bring it forth. See, now you're going to go from the life to the chemistry. All right, now first of all, you got like a chemistry. That's true. Then that chemistry breaks down. It's fed to us, see. Then the life begins to come up through another chemistry, which is the life of the Word in the soul through the spirit and the mind and the body. Now, what are you going to have if you don't have the real thing? Well, you say, I got a walnut here, and I can see that if I have this nut here, it's got to be walnut, because I'll tell you what I did. I soaked it in sulfuric acid. Now, you watch it kill everything. Hogwash. No. It ain't going to work. That's why, brother, sister, I've got this confidence, and I can be wrong, but I don't believe I am. If we have this mechanical word, the dynamics must come forth, because where else is it? Whose word is it? Who gave it? Upon what conditions? What grounds it falling in? He said, you're God's husbandry. You're God's field. You're God's planting. So I see Brother Branham's prayer here. He said, anything that would keep the word from coming forth with great power and influence today in our lives, take it away, Lord. Well, who did he say? He said, I'm going to take it away. He said, Lord, you take it away. You let the poison that's in that word. Now remember, Brother Branham said, the doctor treats you. He's got to have a poison and an antidote. It goes only so far. And the killing of God in your life and mine is to destroy the powers of sin. And if we refuse to listen, he'll take us out all the way. Then he begins pouring in the life. So it's just like getting those rocks out of there, those things out of life. Weeding out. Why do you think God weeds out the church? To get a bride. You're talking about weeding out after a bit. See? So I'm looking at this finger. We might have full access to all the blessings promised to us through thy word. See? So we're looking for the great promises. Now that's his prayer, and it has to do with the unveiling of God. And he reads in Philippians, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, he tells you right there, he said, if you've got anything from God at all that resembles any love, any fellowship, any mercy, you got anything of those, he said, fulfill my joy, ye be like-minded. In other words, strive to have one mind. Now, that doesn't mean simply voting on something, but you can see where Brother Branham took a vote. And he said, the voice of God is in the majority, providing the majority have God. I mean, Brother Branham just didn't go up for election and say that's it. He panned that one place, and he explained how you could have it right. There's always a right and a wrong to everything. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, he each esteemed the other better than themselves. Now, that is a terrific verse that I believe we should all try to follow. There's some difficulty in there, but that is very necessary. Nothing for show, nothing to be anybody, but always lowly in mind and always think somebody's better than you are. And I'm not saying you've got to have inferiority complexes. I'm just telling you this. It's always easy, if you have anything in you, to admire what you see in somebody that's really right and good, and especially when you realize your own shortcomings. Now, somebody thinks he's way up there, he'll never admire anybody because he's so full of arrogance and pride, he's like the devil. Oh, listen, I don't want to get carried away with that. I keep my spirit down. That's the way to do it. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, that means to have an open, willing heart to help, but doesn't mean to be a sucker. That is my, Jesus could have then saved two thieves. You've got to be discriminating. I don't like that word discrimination, but I do. Now, like Brother Branham said, I'm a segregationist. Not in the way people said by color, but by Holy Spirit. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be with God, not a prize to be grasped and retained. That word, that's not robbery. Come on. How do you steal what's your own? How could Jacob steal what was his own? I don't care what the flesh said. That's why what God said. You know, election, brother, sister, not by some little papal dogma or Protestant dogma. Being in the form of God. It's just entire with spirit. Thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained, to just stay in that form, but made himself of no reputation. Now, that's a slap in the face. But took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion of man, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Now, we'll turn to 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter, begin at verse 6, and go to 18 to verse 4. Who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, and the Spirit gives life. Now, he's talking about the unveiling of God. Now, first of all, he tells you in reading in Philippians what actually happened. And you'll speak of that as the veil. Now, he turns around and speaks of a ministry. You understand what I'm saying? He's speaking of a minister with a ministry, and he's talking about the unveiling. You hear what I said? Huh? Or do you really hear what I said? I'm not making this hard, so I'm puzzling. I'm just hoping that you heard what I said. One and one or two. Three and three or six. Now, he's talking about unveiling. Who's going to do it? He's going to do it. Now, he said, what's to be unveiled? This in Philippians. Now, how's it going to be done? He's telling you. You follow me? He made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. I'm going to tell you something in there that doesn't require revelation, right? But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather, or no comparison in glory? Now, he's talking about something he's going to do. Now, Moses was there doing something, and they said, look, that brought death. Yeah, I kill, I make alive. God does bring death. He brings death to your flesh, and death to your senses, and death to your desires. But he brings life to your soul. See? All right. Now, thou shalt not do it, thou shalt do and won't do it. Okay. Now, he said here, how shall not the ministry of Spirit be rather glorious? Much more glorious. No comparison. For if the ministration of condemnation be glorious, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now, look, Paul already went through that in the book of Hebrews. I beg your pardon, book of Romans. Let's just take a look at it. I'm not in any rush. I figure this is going to take days and days. And, you know, I'm not worried. If you get worried, I'm sorry for you. All right, he says here Romans 5, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many one be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was to one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Well, what about this hour that he's talking about? Everything out here in the world is condemned and shot. And what happens to us? Little bride, you're the virtuous, righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. Perfect justification. Grace overflowing. What age did he say about this? What did he say about this age? He said, not one good thing about this age. This is the age that's utterly dark, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, stink. Why, he said, you're the filthiest bunch of tripe I've ever seen in my life.
Like Brother Branham saw that harlot out of America. He said, oh God, is this what we produced? That's right. You talk about grace. Little bride comes by just like the first bride. You know, people get confused. They say, well, I say with Brother Branham, we got to go. And they say, well, just a minute, Ephesus was a fallen bride. No, she wasn't to begin with, honey. We're not going back to some semi-prostitute. Some, well, just a little bit pregnant. Fap. I don't want to get tough, but let's get this down to business, brother, sister. Brother Bannon said there's a repeat of Ephesus. And Brother Paul, the apostle, said, you've got everything that it takes. May he now come and give you what you need.
Amen.
We've got it under what grace? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. A wretched whore like me. Yeah. Prostitute to everything. Was clean and holy of God. That's why the word of God, God tells you about harlot, the old harlot Rahab, how many customers she had, I don't care and I care less. Whether the Israelites used her themselves for entertainment, that's their business. She married a general, became a progenitor of David. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It says right here, if by one man's offense death reigned by many, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall receive in life by one Christ Jesus. What's he telling you right there? He's telling you there's the last plague is death. But who's on the scene? Life, I am the resurrection. I've he that believeth in me, though the whole bunch of death. Death shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. You believe this in this hour? Immortality, the Son of Righteousness risen with healing his wings. You better believe it, because that's the word of God. Time and decay in all the world. I see. I forget that anyway. I wish I could remember that hymn. Time and decay in all he sees, but thou who, I forget, abide with me. I could remember it, I guess, if I tried hard enough. Abide with me at this end time. And he is. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all to condemnation, even so by righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification. See, right back to justification. Justification, what does it mean? Declared righteous, sin totally divorced. Sin burned out. For if by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. He took the book. See? More with the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? I don't have all my notes. It's okay. I might not even be able to find it here. That's my trouble. I look for stuff and I can't even find it. If I had a good memory, it'd be all right. Anyway, I was just going to read out of Peter here. It might be first or second. About the grace that is revealed in this last time. It's likely second Peter. But it doesn't matter. That he's appearing. That's what we look at here. All right. Now going back to what Brother Branham read. Now, he said, for even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Now, what does he say? Brother Branham said he comes in clouds of glory. And he said, oh, what a glory. He said that was when Luther broke on the scene above the Catholics. Now, remember, the Roman Catholic Church had a glory in it. In certain sporadic ways, on the grounds that there were certain men that God used all the time that protested the church. They were saints of God. Don't think they were. The bride did not die in the middle and was alive at both ends. You just don't worry about the middle. See? And the church ages took care of it. But now the seals take us back to where we need to be, which is Ephesus. Back to virgin bride. All right. Now, he said here, Luther's glory superseded that which was there. Wesley's glory superseded Luther. Pentecost superseded Wesley. But oh, what a glory this will be. It'll never fail. That's what I tried to tell people when I preached on the Perusia and tried to bring in all those words. And I'm not a Greek scholar. Don't pretend to be. But I've got enough, hopefully, enough Holy Ghost and able to help people with a little tiny measure of whatever gift I've got. And then they're trying to bring up, look, all of these things have started. Where is it going? It's going to take us right to him where we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But that's all right. People don't understand. That's all right by me. Heard a brother preach on a tape not long ago. Where my wife did. I didn't have time to listen. She didn't get that far. And she got there where this brother said, look, he said, we've known that he's here, he said. And these people, he said, that have to make so much, he said, of grace and the fact that he is here. He said, we've always known it. And he said, how come they weren't preaching years ago? If I've always known it, and everybody always knew it, there's a good question in how we're splitting churches. If they already had it. They should be happy that we've simply come along and shared a little knowledge. You see, if you got,
well, that's enough said. All right.
See? Seeing then we have such a hope, earnest expectation, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses would put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now notice it says they could not look to the end of that which is abolished, showing you absolutely that the glory that Moses had had to fail. You understand what he's saying? Well, that's what he's saying here. He's not saying something else. Now, I know they couldn't look upon Moses' face because it was so bright. But don't worry, they could have stood it. But this tells you, and Brother Branham also brings this out, though it doesn't sound like it in spots. It sounds like Brother Branham disagrees with what is actually there in the Greek, but he doesn't. It says, to the end, that it was going to go. So what was the use of looking at it anyway? Only as the type for down the road. See? But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained at the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now there's no veil there. Now, there's got to be an unveiled time of coming. Now, remember, there's ministers that do this.
He has made us able ministers of the New Testament. And there's got to be somebody that's going to be able to take this
and present him. Now, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says. This is the Word of God. Now, but even at this day when Moses read, the veil is upon the heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, what's in the heart? The soul. When that turns, it's gone. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open faces, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, somebody has got to bring us a ministry of word, because Moses was word. Moses, a prophet. This will be a prophet. Someone's got to bring us a ministry that'll unveil him. Amen. In that word. And when we see him, we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Who's we? Prophet Paul. Nobody else has got it. Just think. The same pillar of fire that gave the word is here revealing the word. Three times he said, as God spake face to face with Moses and with Paul, and now. And somebody's got a ministry that's going to do this. See, Brother Bill, hallelujah, I got the Holy Ghost. Not in disagreement. Not, if you disagree with this, you ain't got no Holy Ghost. I could say you haven't any Holy Ghost and be perfectly grammatical. Who cares with your grammar? Pickled in oil or anything else you want. We have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things, now watch, and have renounced the hidden things, and the dishonest, not walking in craftiness, and handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves, he's got condemning, but it's commending ourselves, to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That tells you right there, that Paul the Apostle had something, absolutely truth in a perfectly truthful vessel, which I can tell you right now, he'd have to be in a tomb. He'd have to be like Balaam. Now there's an example right there. Never mind Moses. Moses wasn't a bird like Balaam. But Balaam gets up and he says, well, he says, I'm a prophet. He says, I can see those birds there. And I know what they're like. He said, it's easy to curse some old Balak, old boy. And he gets there and he opens his mouth and he couldn't say one thing. He was in a tomb. So Balak said, well, he said, walk and look in the backyard, the hinder parts, and see what it's like. He said, everybody's got bad points. Balak ought to know that. He didn't have any good points. The only good point Balaam has is on top of his head. So he went down there. He was going to curse Israel. He opened his mouth. He was in a tube. He couldn't do anything. All right? This man here is telling you he's in a tube. But thank God for the kind of tube that he's got. It's the prophetic tube that he can't say anything but what is right. And furthermore, he's got the virtues and the fruit where he wouldn't want to say anything but what is right. You don't have a paragon of virtues. You simply have a virtuous man. Now he said, I am showing you that this ministry commends us to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And this one here being revealed.
manifested. And then he said, but if our gospel be hid, notice it's our gospel. It is hid to them which are lost. Now remember, this could not happen till the last hour. Because Brother Branham is talking about it for his hour. You see, Brother Vail, that took place back there. I don't care if it did. That's what's wrong with people. They can't see the Alpha and Omega principle. They can't see the compounding of Scripture. Except they have a compound meaning. Now, Brother Branham puts this into the compound. The descent, and he came down. In fact, I'll read to you, I believe, in this message where Brother Branham said he descended to the earth. You do what you want. I got to believe the Word of God. Now comes the unveiling. Now comes the manifestation. Now comes the revelation. Now comes the excellent glory. The unsurpassed glory. Every glory brought you to the place where if you died, you came out of the ground. This one takes you right back to the garden where Adam could have put forth his hand and taken the tree of life, but then he forfeited that. And now we stand right here perfectly justified, perfectly righteous, not innocent, perfectly righteous. We are not innocent. Fact. We're righteous. Adam was innocent. He wasn't righteous. That's not my thinking. That's the theological terminology. It's very true. I gathered that from scholars, and it's true. We are righteous. We are not innocent. The Bible said we have ourselves exercised by good and evil. We have gone through the rough spots, the evil spots, so therefore we know how to keep away from it. We're exercised now by righteousness, by the grace of Almighty God. All right, let's keep going. He said, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, my subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal this. Reveal what? What he's read here. And each time, if you who take the tapes and listen, and I hope and trust that you have had a spiritual understanding of what that God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. See? Now, why would Brother Branham say that something is going to be said without saying it right out? Now, that's what he says. Now, he tells you he's going to bring something here, but he's not saying it right out. Right? Well, that's what he said. Now, why would he not speak this out plain, except it involves himself? Yeah. Well, he's talking about a ministry that's going to do it, and this is it, would come down. He can't come down again with nail prints. Can't take upon himself the form of man being the Son of Man. You know what I mean? With the body. Now we got this coming up here. You will see that this message follows in perfect line with what I've been dealing with in about six other sermons of Brother Branham, combining some. Particularly the last one, Events Made Clear by Prophecy. Thus, it is not so much doctrine. It is not so much doctrine or theology as it is his own position and relationship with both God and God's unveiling. Well, come on. Didn't he say Moses, God? Didn't he talk about word? Didn't he mention presence? Didn't God come down? What's he doing? Running a parallel. That's Acts 3. We'll get to it later. See? This sets the tenor and principle of this message. If this is so. Then you won't be looking to know all about God from this message. Because you evidently don't need to know that. You need to know what is done and how is done. And if you go along with it, evidently, like we said many occasions, quoting Brother Branham, you are a believer. You're not a believer any other way. Because your creeds and dogmas, you can believe them all you want. They're not going to do you a bit of good. That's ministry of death. Thou shalt join the church. What for? See? Note, the title is Unveiling. Not Doctrine of Godhead, per se, but like the rapture. Wherein he said, I will now preach on and reveal the conditions of the rapture. What do you say about the rapture itself? Well, it's not even the Bible. It means a catching away, catching up.
right. That's rapture. How much did he speak about the catching up? Ha! Out of the hour and a half to 2 hours? 5 minutes. What did he speak about? The conditions. Then if you are one with the conditions, you're believing, you are one with the rapture, because everybody else is going to turn it down. Now he will preach here in such a way that people will turn down. And others will believe. He's going to tell you then about how it is done, not so much what is done, not so much the who, as to how the who is revealed. And his will be a relationship, because he says, here is a ministry. It involves a ministry. Oh, people don't like that. Oh, blessed Holy Spirit revealed to me. It's always that. Aren't I somebody, Lord? Oh, you certainly are. I'm so tempted to say some nasty things here, but I'm not going to. I'll give you a magazine instead that says it for me. It's perfectly beautifully done. It comes in my Arizona magazine, what they do out in Arizona. It's perfectly legal and nothing dirty about it. It's just that this is what it is. You kind of figure it out for yourself. You can't lend you a magazine. Everybody want to buy the magazine now. And worth your time. All right, listen. I trust and hope you've had a spiritual understanding what that God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. See, it's saying sometime. We have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. It might bring some to gloat, some to leave, some to ponder over. That's done purposely. It must be done that way. Now, he's warning. I'm going to say some things right here. He's going to tell you that you can run with and destroy yourself. You can turn up your nose and walk away. You can do it. I can't take that. So you can say, well, I may think it over. Or you can make a decision that Paul already based the decision on. You saw it manifested that I've got the authority to say it. And you can say, well, hey, if anybody can say it, he can say it, and I know he's the one to say it. You won't be like the brother who said, well, I'll tell you what. I believe that Elijah was already John the Baptist. But if I believe Elijah were to come again like John the Baptist, Brother Branham would get my vote. Well, isn't that nice? I think I could do without that. I think it's very good now, mind you. It's just wonderful that man went that far. But close only counts in horseshoe. You know, you can even get a leaner, and somebody can knock that off. It's pretty hard to knock off a ringer, though. In God's horseshoe, the ringers aren't knocked off. Then it might be that some would say, you mean God would purposely do a thing like that? He certainly did. And he does yet. Why? Because he's yesterday the same and forever. Now, he's using great emphasis here without saying, I am Elijah. So, we'll just go back here a little second, way back. I take a little peek back here to page 29 and paragraph 184. And he says, oh, brother, sister, are you catching it? Look, don't you see it's been veiled through these ages according to what God said, and it would be opened in the last days, those seven seals would be broken, and the full thing would come into view of the people, what took place all along. The hour of the seventh angel's message. All the mysteries of God should be made known in that Elijah. In this last hour. How that Christ is put out of the church, the Son of God. How he's revealed as the Son of Man again. How the church is to be put in order. Now, that's not till the tongues in a room. Order. Order means order. Under the full leadership or the headship of the Holy Ghost with the proper fivefold ministry and the people enjoying the presence of God. And everything for the last day. No creed, no denomination, just absolutely the word living in the individual. That's the life really released from what is the mechanical. Now if you turn down the mechanical, which is Brother Branham's message, you're shot according to what he said, and he's vindicated. Now, this is the thing you've got to come to understand. This is what the... Listen, I'm going to tell you something. People say, Brother Vail, why don't you just step a little higher with us and study some more and get us someplace else? I am preaching from the last sermons that Brother Branham actually preached. And I found out years ago that 40 to 60%, if not more, of everything he said was on this line. So, therefore, there's something a whole lot deeper in you. Yes, I believe the prophet. Boy, y'all, this is fine. No, sir. We're going to preach this till it catches fire. In me and you both. Because that's what it's all about. Now notice, living in Elijah. Now listen to what his quote is on that. I'll take one and leave one. What's the one he's going to leave? The one that turned down the mechanics wherein lay the dynamics. Can't have the one without the other. Before the dynamics came, God said, let there be light. That's the mechanics. What was the dynamics of light? Brother Branham, in the last great sermon he preached, the rapture, thus it has been spoken, thus it shall be. Three times he said it. And it wasn't once for the Father, once for the Holy Ghost, and once for the Son. God's in perfection. Now he said, I'll take this, I'll leave that one. Which one's he going to take? The one that breathes the seals, the seven thunders. See, there's no strings, no denomination, no binding, no nothing. It's the heart with God and with Him alone. Well, how do you know you got Him alone? I'll tell you when the vessel's completely full of the Word. And the dynamics in the Word's being released. Get rid of the rocks and the bumps and those things. Come on down. No big shots here. Why do you think I've turned everything back to the church? It's your baby, not mine anymore. Say, Brother Bill, you're an ignorant. I'm getting nothing. I'm smartening up. I've gone through my hell to get this far, and it's not very far yet. He said one day when he had 5,000 around him, he said, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, you will notice in here that he's running a parallel because he said, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not a man, God, but it'll come by a prophet. Okay. Now, this is a hard saying that Jesus gave. I just read it to you. Notice, Jesus identified himself and his position and purpose. He'd identified himself, identified his position, and now he's identifying a purpose. Sacrifice. Eat the flesh and drink the blood. See? Brother Branham, as Elijah, must do the same thing. Now, he can't say, eat my flesh and drink my blood, but he can tell you flat that nothing outside of this message will come to life. And you'll say, don't give me that junk. Like talking to a bride. There's a big difference. Now, what kind of a statement do you think a medical doctor, nurse, or any fine intellectual person would think of a statement like that for a man that had a ministry like that? Oh, come on. Well, they said, this Jesus was great, but he's nuts. I don't know how he operates. Man, look what he threw down the drain. He's crazy. Much learning. They said, the Paul, much learning made you mad. They said, Jesus is mad. They said, he's a devil. Well, they said, is not this the Son of David? They said, no, he's not that son. He's the other one. Israel still knows there's going to be an Antichrist. I'll play that tape one of these days of Ashley Red Heifer. No, we'll get around here. Give me time. Hope we're not all dead by the time my time comes, though. Just tell me to do it sometime and I'll bring it down. We'll do it. See? All right. Now, let's go to John 14. And here, I can't do that in the book of Acts, can I? John 14. And we're down toward the bottom of that page. I hope your Bible's like mine. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. And he doeth the works, by the way. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. they said, look at the great works. He said, I've been producing them, and you know I've got to have something nobody else has. Won't you listen to what's behind it? Oh, they said, shut up, just give us the works, nit, nat, yap, yap, we're tired of yap, yap, yap. We sooner have Hillel. Who's Hillel? He's the guy that said a man can divorce his wife for any cause. My wife woke up this morning and she didn't look too pretty. Boot her out and get yourself another one. That's Israel was, that's Israel. Through the priesthood, through everything. That's where Sodom and Gomorrah comes from. Too much sex. Too much women. And women don't satisfy. Now you go to men. Women to women. Herpes. AIDS. Thank God. Let it come. That's the way to do it. Let her do her. What are we going to worry? Not going to worry. Look up your redemption draws now, dear. I'm going to tell you what. We're not going to consume away in our bodies. We're going to rapture. We got to get your eyes on that. See? For a man had a ministry like he had. Don't you know he's talking about himself, William Branham? Who could produce what he could produce? Not all put together. Oh, but he blew it. He thought he was Elijah. Us lovely, fine fellows. No fat. Why, he would say, eat the flesh? That fellow being critical. That's cannibal. He wants us to be cannibals. Drink human blood is vampire. He wants to be cannibals and vampires. The whole audience flocked away from him. They're a flock, all right. Eagles don't flock. They just want to design. The whole audience flocked away from him. Now, what about this hour when Brother Branham, with his miracles, turned around and said the prophet is God to the people and said he's the living word of God manifest and he's God manifest in the flesh? What do you think that did? Oh, he made himself God. Don't think for one minute the people that made William Branham God or the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have grounds for it on the fact of the misrepresentation of the word that they heard when they saw the miracles. Because the ministry had to repeat. And the ministry had to repeat to bring a perfect word to bring the body to the head physically. It's going to pull the dead out of the grave and change you and me, praise God. Don't worry about your shape and your change, brother, sister. Abraham was the worst shape he was in 1 second before he was changed. So don't get your thoughts mixed up. Now, there was a ministerial association called Reedy's, should be pronounced assassination. There was a ministerial assassination with him of 70 that had been chosen because they cut his throat. And he turned to them and he said, what will you think when you see the Son of Man ascending up where he came from? Now, you can see there's three groups of people there. Those that plumb walked off, those that had some instruction, and those that wouldn't walk off. Three types right there. So you've got the world, you've got the worldly church, you can put the worldly church there, you've got the foolish virgin and the wise virgin. And notice there's a response to the word based upon vindication, the same as Paul had. Now remember, Paul presented, but he couldn't fulfill. He presented Ephesians, he presented this, but he couldn't fulfill. There's no way. No, sirree. No way. No, sir, the hour wasn't there. That's why there's a word for every hour, and people don't want to believe that. Okay. And he turned to them, and he said, what will you think when you see the Son of Man ascending up where he came from? Now, he didn't explain that. He never explained how. Paul did it later on. Well, I don't know if Paul did it later on exactly where he did it, but maybe it's over here in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. So let's take a look at it. But unto every one that's given grace in verse 7, chapter 4, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, led captivity, captain gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? And he that ascended is the same also ascended up far above the heavens, he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Now it tells you right there that is the Holy Spirit. That he sent back the Holy Spirit, he came back in spirit form as the Holy Spirit. Now over in John 1 and 18, he says, no man has seen God, the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father hath revealed him. So he's telling you who's in the bosom of the Father. He turned back to a pillar of fire because Jesus is the fullness of the full attribute of bodily. He was in the physical form, the full attribute of God. And now in the fire form, he's still the full attribute of God. Now that's quoting Brother Branham. Okay. So, all right, we can look at that and perhaps understand that in a measure. how that this is that this is that one that went up and came down, and he's up there as the Holy Spirit. See, the light that was in Jesus, like Brother Branham brings up, God was in Christ. Okay. Now he said, when he said this, he just said it, see? And then when this, he said, what will you say to these ministers when you see the Son of Man ascending up where he came from? Now, he said to them, to all of them, he said, what are you going to say when you see him? Now, we know that bunch didn't see him. But we do know the apostles and certain numbers, up to 500, saw him after his death. And maybe that number or more saw him go up. I don't know about that. Check the book of Acts, you might see lesser numbers. All right. No doubt, those men said, now, just a minute. We eat with him, we fish with him, we sleep with him. We know where he was born. We saw the cradle he was rocked in. This is a hard thing. Now, the identification is always the tough part. Now, people would believe the identification. It would be great, but let's face it. There's only one group that can, and that's the elect. We'll get to that. All right? A hard saying. Now, Brother Branham is talking about himself at the end time. Unveiling God. Talking about the one that's here. I'm going to show him to you. Now, the Bible said they didn't walk with him anymore. They left him. Now, that's just like the Pharisees and scribes. You know, they'll say, hey, now, if we'd have been back there in the days of the fathers, we'd have stopped and killed the prophets. And he said, look, you're going to kill me. You're the same bunch of snakes and generation of vipers. He said, don't try to pretty yourself up. He said, you're a bunch of sepulchers. He said, you got pretty on the outside and you're rotten inside. And that's a good old hypocrite. You can be nice on the outside. Oh, love this and do everything else beautiful. Just be rotten inside because you turn the word down. Full of unbelief. Say you love God and hate him. Make God a liar. Go right ahead. See, I hit that all the time very, very hard. John 15. If I had not done the works, nor the men did, they not sin. But now they both seen and both hated me and my Father. Oh, see, I love. No, you don't. You hate. I don't care what anybody says. So, Brother Bill, I got to do some thinking. You do some thinking. Be my guest. I want you to start thinking. We ought to check our lives out and see how much love we've got and how much hate. See how much we're in the Word. Ha! Maybe one finger, one toenail. Brother Brand said, you can't have anything hanging outside of Christ. You better get all in. Yes, sir. I think it's time we get all in. I'm looking for it, bless God. I can't see a Bible that lies to me. Now, said they didn't walk with him anymore. That's the church. See? People lied about Brother Branham. They still lie about him. A certain brother went down to to Texas, and he began dealing with people down there that they said they knew Brother Branham. You should hear the lies they told about him. Said he was hooked up with that bunch of school of the prophets. God forbade him go to the school of the prophets. And this guy believed all that claptrap and balderdash. None but lies. People tell any lie about the prophet. People just grab it up. Oh, they won't believe his own confession, his own testimony. If anybody ought to know, William Branham ought to know. And if God backs a man up, that's the man you listen to. Not some miscreant out here that calls himself a preacher and a son of God. Son of what God? Come on. Don't anybody fool you this late in the day, brother, sister. They saw Brother Branham's early ministry. What did Dr. Davis do about it? Nothing. As far as I know, even Brother Branham proved he went to Potent Case. I saw the letter that King George Secretary wrote. Don't give me any of your nonsense. See, where is it now? I don't know. Somebody stole it. The devil always steals things. But you can't steal what I can tell you. You're going to let say, well, you're a liar. You're a liar. I'll meet you on that. You bet I'll meet you on it. And I'll meet you on the letters that are written to the carpers. And the criticizers. And I meet you on the letter I saw and under the hand, as far as I know it's under the hand, because it was from the President of Finland. And I saw where De Corsi wanted to use Brother Branham like Elijah. Look over in Russia, tell us what's going on. Who cares what's going on in Russia? I want to hear from heaven. I'm not going to Russia. Fap. You talk about the jargon, the mixed up minds. You ever shake an egg, you know, it got all addled inside? Yeah. Men's brains outside of Jesus Christ. One of the tongues loose in the middle. I mean, tied in the middle and loose at both ends. So they speak out of the air and they speak out of the brain, speak out of the hearts. That's the church, brother, the world church. Then he had 12 left. He chose 12, and one of them was the devil. Don't look at the fellow next day now. That's what he said. So he turned to them. There's no one could explain what he had just said. How are you going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? How did he come down when he was born right here on earth? See? They couldn't understand it. Then he turned to the apostles and he said, do you want to go also? Now, this is the example of you and me. Under William Branham, the elect. And that's when the apostle Peter made that great statement. Lord, to whom would we go? See? For we are satisfied. We know assuredly that you, and you alone have the word of life at this hour. And Brother Branham said, there is no life outside of this message, and there's nothing will come to life outside of it. Okay, see? And we're satisfied of that. See, they could not explain it. You can't explain faith. Now, that ought to do something for you right there. Don't try to explain why you believe Brother Branham and everybody else says you're nuts, you're cuckoo, there's other great men, there's this. Well, you say, look, I'm satisfied, he had it, goodbye Charlie. Now, Charlie's not there, goodbye John, goodbye George. It's goodbye your wife and your kids and everybody else. Or I'll tell you, if it's not, it'll be goodbye you. Because you remember the judge. We'll talk about that in a little while. What little while? I don't know, but it'll be a little while. It'll be a little while, all right. You and you alone have the words of this hour. See, and we're satisfied of that. See, they could not explain it. You can't explain faith. It's something that you believe. And it's so solid that there's nothing else will take its place. It doesn't say that a lot of things don't want to take its place. But you come, like I've said many times, I'm not looking for anything else when it comes to this word. Unless it comes out of the word. And I won't know, I just got to stay with the word. See? Therefore they knew that the word that was written for that age, that they were living in, the Messianic age, that he fit that place perfectly. Now what fits today? The appearing Son of Man and the prophet Elijah, because he puts them together. One reveals the other. And you know the Son of Man is here being revealed because it's the Word working itself in the midst of us. Living itself again. Appearing to the Gentiles. And what could they do? And what could they do to go back in them cold formal churches they came out of? See? Said, where would we go? See? We are fully persuaded that you have the word of life. They couldn't explain it, but they believed it. Brother Branham said, sink or swim, live or die. And that's the attitude we've got. We don't have to be a theologian, explain everything. We don't have to tell everything. We don't have to argue and fuss with anybody. Defend our position. Walk off. See? Shake the dust off your feet, which means the dust of malice, so that you can argue bitterly if you have to. Walk off loving friends and say, well, I love you just the same. That's pretty difficult. But Brother Branham lived it. He didn't back away from the word. He didn't go on the platform and say, well, I'm going to tell you, folk, I've disagreed with you Pentecostal people, and I want to tell you, I love you so much, I'll just take back everything I said. When did he say that? We don't take back anything we said either, unless we said it wrong. Now, we're not prophets. Remember, the prophet's in a tube. Jesus said that to weed down his crowd, to weed him out, till he could get the group together. And out of all those people, they say only, all the people, they only 11 of them, then understood actually who he was. They knew that he was God and God alone. They knew that's what they were dealing with. Now, Jesus, the body, wasn't God. It was a substance chemically formed around the life that was of God, the attributes placed in there. Looking at attributes. Fullness of the attributes bodily. All right. They knew what he was. Okay. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Okay, the second chapter, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. How do you get gathered unto him? Through the prophets. What do the prophets have? Revealed word. They are there in the place of Jesus. That's Matthew 23. Read it time and time again to you. How oft would I have gathered together? I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some you kill, some you crucify. You harry to city to city. See that upon you may come all the righteous blood from Abel. Said right down to the last one killed in Israel. Their blood came upon them. Now the blood comes upon the Church of Rome and the Protestants. All the blood from Abel now. Double portion. Because they turned it down. Now, he says he's talking concerning himself. The gathering together unto Christ, who is present. Logos. There's the two pictures, scientifically proven. Parallels the day of Moses. Can't get away from it. A prophet. Jesus was a prophet. God was in the prophet. All of God in the prophet. And these prophets, all of God is not in the prophets. I'm speaking now in terms of constant. Could be in and then at least we know the attributes and leave. There's a difference between the two. But there's not a difference in the respect of the typing. Because he's appeared to the Gentiles, proved he's here, manifested it. Now we're coming together on that. Not on denomination, creeds, and churches, and Pentecost, and this and that. On the pure, unadulterated Word. Not on money and this and that. Everybody's got too much. We're sated, jaded. It's a pitiful thing. Need to get a fresh revelation. Now, my subject this morning is to reveal or unveil that God. What that God? What He's talking about, how He does things. Show you how it's done. He's laid the foundation for it. Now, God has always, in every age, has hid Himself behind the veil. All ages. But He's been God all the time. Now, He's telling us something right here. Going back to Philippians, as God took upon Him a human form, and He was in that human form, that constituted a veil. Read about Moses constituting a veil. So He's going to talk about veils. And it's going to take someone to get behind the veil through revelation. Then you talk about ceremonial veils, creedal, denominational, how they're ripped aside. Why, sure they're ripped aside when the hand of God comes down, the miracles and signs and wonders. You know God's not with that bunch. They'll come right behind and try to impersonate it, but they're not going to do it. No, sirree, the genuine has been here, so that's counterfeit. People ran by and they said, oh, we got it, we saw the original. Hallelujah, we'll join the original. Oh, gosh, you bunch of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now, if you're a real child of God and you want to see signs follow the Word, that's great. But don't you try to set a precedence with any sign that you got something that's been done. So now you're phony. Come on, come on, come on, brothers. Let's face this thing. You don't find prophets and you don't find the fivefold ministry in that order. Come on, that's a bunch of, oh, that's irrational, ridiculous, denominational stuff. You're born into this. Predestination. Moses, Paul, William Branham, 2,000 years each apart. Anything else is ascended masters. Now, I'm going to reveal that God. What God? The God is explained, exemplified by Jesus in His ministry. Yep. And the startling Word that is against the creeds. God in every age hid behind a veil, but has been God all the time. See? But He's kept Himself hid from the world and reveals Himself to His elected. All right? Or who are the elected? Oh, the elected? Yeah, over here. I just read it. See? That's the 12, the 11 apostles. They couldn't explain it, but they believed it. Said, live or die, sink or swim, or that we believe it. Now, He kept Himself hid from the world, reveals Himself to His elected like the apostle that day. Now, that was God speaking in Christ. We have God speaking in Christ. What's Christ? It means the Messiah, the anointed one, the messenger. That's the one, coming in flesh. God was in Him. God, like God's in the prophets. So if Jesus was a prophet, God would have to be in Him. But He wouldn't be a son of God. He'd be the Son of God. Amen. And the Son of Man, signifying who He was. Okay, now man as always has been the nature of man. He sought to see physically that God. He's always wanted to see it. Man has made creatures that look like him. They think of the Indians worship the sun. And we find in Africa different forms of animals and so forth. And up on the totem poles in Alaska, different forms that they think this is that God is in. As Paul spoke there at Athens that time on Mars Hill and told them they were superstitious concerning this unknown God, that they knowed He was there, but they didn't know Him. Now, here's what he's bringing out here. No creation can reveal the Creator. Only the Creator can reveal Himself, and He will use a part of His creation. But it's a specified a part that God uses. You can't look out here and really know God. You can know there is a God, and you know He must work in continuity, and you can even pick up election. You can even pick up condemnation, because why should this thing out here be cursed, and this one not cursed? See, why should He rip up this and not rip up that? You can tell there's blessing and cursing. You can begin to feel there's something out there that maybe indicates a bit. But no way. And man has always tried to figure God by creation and do something that will work it out. And it won't work. God's His own interpreter. First of all, He's His own word giver. He's His own interpreter. He's His own God. You bet He is. He said, I don't take counsel of anybody. Oh yeah, people think you do. You know, the Roman Catholic Church, like the Sanhedrin, you know, I understand it. It's said by Josephus or somebody, the Sanhedrin got so haughty that they said when God gets problems, He inquires of them. So I suppose the Roman Catholic cardinals got together and they asked God who to make pope. And I have no doubt that God told them. They really got serious. Yeah. Yeah. They didn't know Him. See, they couldn't know Him. So we find even back as far as Job. Job knew there was a God. He knew it. There was not a human being in his, there's not a human being in his right mind but knows there's got to be something somewhere. And now Job wanted to talk to him. That's talk to God. And I want you to notice the form that God chose to talk to Job in. In other words, what was God in when he talked to Job? Now listen, God was veiled when he talked to Job. He was veiled in a whirlwind, came down in a whirlwind. You believe that God still comes in a whirlwind and veiled himself? Why did he bring up Job? Because Job saw God in a whirlwind. He saw the whirlwind. He said, that's God, and God spoke out of it. God did something. God said something. Now what's he doing? He's going to talk about himself. Letting you know that he is the one that's going to expose God. And the manner in which it is done. See, that's why they hated Christ. If he had not been there to die upon the cross, it's a wonderful, 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 wonderful. But he identified himself with the word, what must be done. Now, William Branham identifies himself and tells you that he is going to pull back the veils of creeds and denominations and the way that God is unveiled to the people. They say, hogwash, I don't want it, I don't buy it, I got enough myself, get out of here. That's why we take every word the prophet said, breathe it in, drink it in, and by the grace of God, we hope to live it. There's several sitting here, a number that was with us the other day when he came in a whirlwind. Now he tells you, God came in a whirlwind. Told us the day before, Brother Bank Woods and them, when he said, take up this rock, throw it in the air, and say, thus saith the Lord. You will see it right away. And I picked up the rock up on the mountain, top of the mountain, threw it in the air, and of course, coming down, started a whirlwind, see the suction of it. Now Brother Branham's identifying himself again, see? Now, showing that he's a prophet, Prophet Elijah, what happened, we'll show you this by scripture, how it came about, and he's going to tell us about God. You have to do something to cause something to follow it. Jesus took a piece of bread and broke it, multiplied from that piece of bread, took water, poured it in pitchers. Elijah took salt, put it in a cruse, cut down a stick, threw it upon water. It's something to symbolize. And picking up this rock and throwing it in the air and coming down started the whirlwind. Now, here's this. Well, let me do something like that. No, you've got to have God tell you what to do. God doesn't back up anything but his own word. So in this particular case, he had to tell these men what to do. I don't think Elisha just came by and said, I'll just do this. No. The Word of God tells us that in him we live and breathe and have our being. And whatever we do and are doing is inspired by God. So this man was inspired by God, doubly so being a prophet. Okay. Then God won't act upon anything but his own word. You know that. The next day, while there was a minister with us on a hunting trip standing close by, said to me, does the Lord give visions out like this? Out here like this, Brother Branham? And I said, yes, but I usually come out here to rest. And just then the vision came. And Brother Borders, I think he's outside now, was along Brother Bankswood, I think, and several, maybe 8 or 10. And Brother Bankswood, watching this right on the mountain, was right across from it, exactly about 1/2 mile, where the angels appeared that I left here to go there for, that come back and told about the 7 seals. Now, he's going to tell you something that has to do then with the 7 seals. He's bringing in the angels. And telling who was out there. Now, what was this angel group? Revealing the judge. You follow me? Now, come on, for this hour. Brother, don't you understand that in redemption, that took place through the shed blood of a physical form. Everything else now, though, that is central to it, does not necessarily have the form figure of the flesh. Because he's turned back to the pillar of fire. Now, Jesus was up there already. And John was not yet caught up when the vision occurred. He wasn't to chapter 4 yet. And the one that was there, by divine revelation, common sense would tell us, now we have the revelation. Then Revelation 1 and 12, the one with the long white hair, the flowing robe, the paps bound by a girdle, so on, is the judge. Now, he's also in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Then who's he coming to? The bride and the church. The bride and the church. And of course, the church turns him down. So Brother Branham is showing us these things by pointing where this took place, the whirlwind. Now what came out of the whirlwind? A voice. Let's go further. And the next day when this was going on, I said to brother, what's your trouble? You got an allergy in your eye. Doctors tried a couple of years to stop it, can't do it. They say it's going to eat your eye out. And I said, don't worry, the Lord Jesus honored your faith. He just dropped his gun and said, your mother, just what was wrong with her? Little tumors between the toes, you remember? And he said, that's the truth. Brother Roy Orbison from the church here standing present. I guess all of you know him. Knowing he was a veteran, knowing what was going to take place, I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, Brother Orbison, be careful, watch, something's going to happen. He told him to hide, see? I walked back to where I was supposed to be standing, and out of the air came a whirlwind down through a canyon from above. It was so great that it tore the rocks 8 or 10 inches through, up to the top of the mountain, threw them out 200 yards out, clapped 3 times like that, and a voice came from it, see? Now, there you are. Now, the whirlwind doesn't have a voice. You're looking at Logos, right there, that which God operates through. See? One of them standing there is Brother Bankwood, present to him. He said, was that what you told me yesterday? I said, yes, sir, that's it. He said, now what did it say? I said, now that's just for me to know, Brother Banks, see, because it would alarm the people. Now listen, but it went ahead, it happened just a little, traveling northward a few days later, hit the ocean, and you see what happened around Fairbanks. It was a judgment sign. Well, how would you have a judgment sign without the judge? Back there, eat my flesh and drink my blood was a redemption sign. See? Now, you're looking at this end time. And Brother Branham's identifying with it. Alright? It was judgment. Now we find that God still, you see, it would throw people into panic. So then that had to happen, you see. It just has to happen. And things is going to happen. It's got to happen anyhow. See, it's going to happen anyhow. Now he's telling you, dear, these things are going to happen. Anything God's going to do is going to happen anyhow. But there's a way that's going to happen. There's a channel. Now, back to paragraph 40, he said, I mentioned that. You see, those 7 angels were there. That was where the judge formed. All right. Now, he said, judgment is going to come. Now, if you go to your Bibles, which you won't go today, you'll notice that Elijah, up on the mountain, God spoke in a whirlwind, and it said God was not in the whirlwind. Although that was God manifesting. Then there was, after the whirlwind, an earthquake. That's fine. But that's not it. The third thing was fire. That's fine. That's true. Still Logos. But that's not it. The next thing you need is what comes out of those three, which is the still small voice, the Word of God. Now, Brother William Branham had the whirlwind. He had the earthquake. And he had the pillar of fire seen by the whole town. And what he doesn't tell you is what Brother Evans will tell you, the boy, because the old man's dead. The old man didn't see it anyway. But Brother Evans, a boy said, Wayne, I think, saw it. And he said the strange thing was there's a black cloud going up down beside the amber cloud, which is exactly what happened to Moses. And out of that voice, out of the fire, the cloud, came the voice, which was God, and take the message back of marriage and divorce to the church and tell the people they're forgiven. In other words, all your creeds and dogmas, all those things you messed up on, they're all gone. You're perfectly justified. You're righteous. Not a thing held against you. Now stick to this. And he said, don't ever do that again. Don't leave the message. Don't go back to churches just the same as you don't leave a wife and go get somebody else and leave a wife and all those things mixed up. Brothers, they're not a God. I'm not saying that it's not possible for someone to marry and divorce. That's up between you and God because I don't know hearts. But I'm looking at this message here. I can tell you one thing. There is no place that anybody can leave this message and go fooling around and come back and do this and do that. When you come to a revelation that's definitive, you will stay with that thing. And I believe the same thing is with the marriage. You stick with your marriages, make the best of them because the next thing could be 10 times worse. That often happens, though maybe not. Now, Moses one time desired to see God, and God told him to stand on the rock. And on the rock Moses stood, and he saw God pass by. And his back looked like the back of man. God was in the whirlwind, and God was there, Moses standing on a rock. I guess you all saw the picture out there. The other day, we stood by the same rock. What same rock? There's a picture of Joseph and Brother Branham. A Polaroid camera took it, and you could see that amber glow and the colors in there like the rainbow and so on. What was it? He said, we stood on the rock. Not the rock was in over there in Palestine. No, not that rock. He's talking about the rock of revelation of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13 and 18. That what God did, he still does. Essentially, God never changes. His way doesn't change. You see? Nothing about God ever changes. That's why he says so good. He said to us in the book of Malachi, which is the book of Elijah for this hour. And he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He tells us right today. He said, if I was a God that changed, he said, I'd take away my grace as I came down here and investigated. Because Brother Branham said investigating angels was that very one. He said, don't worry, one of these come and pick you up and take you away. A pillar of fire. See, the Holy Spirit going to catch us away. And he said, He said that that hour, when that thing, when that judge came, he looked at the Laodicean church age, and he saw the whole thing was a complete mess, a complete washout, and that's where he said, I don't change. He said, I'm the judge, and I can tell you the whole thing is shot, but I'm going to take my elect out. And what does that go back to? Genesis, the 18th chapter, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall God condemn the righteous with the wicked? He said, by no means. And there he stood in a human form, the great judge right there, took upon himself a veil of flesh, and stood right there and said, look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to judge the world right now. And then he said, the Son's going to come in flesh. The judge came right here and exonerated the bride, condemned the world. Judgment already struck. Sixth seal opened. The whole thing opened. And now we're just waiting. Now, brother, sister, you can't beat that. What's the prophet doing? He's unveiling God. This is God, the Word. He's letting you know. You say, well, you know, I realize it. That we could be thinking something duller this morning. But I'm not moving one step until I get the dull thing out of this. This is dull. I want to get my sharp brains dulled down, I can tell you that, because it isn't as real as it's got to be. And here's that light. Here's that light. The angel of the Lord, right where it clapped. what was that? Not that that was when that whirlwind came and just clapped the three times, but bang, bang, bang the rocks and just spun them out. Where did William Branham get the power to that? There's a guy, Mindy, goes around. He talks about a cloud and some fire and things snapping around people's feet. But he's supposed to be the Son of Man. He's got all Moonday landing and all that stuff all shot in him. I don't care if he raised the dead or whole graveyard full. I'd be fun to see that. He ain't going to do it. Come on, brother. Don't you realize there's one real and everything else is going to fall or cannot be real? Why? Because this is a once in a lifetime, 2,000 years. We're not dealing with the everyday of God anymore that was out here anything went by. You're not dealing that way anymore. Can't you see the Exodus from the time of Moses? Never mind the second Exodus, the time of Jesus. That's fine. And that's in there, Brother Branham. But Brother Branham didn't go back and forth to that. He went back to Moses every single time, laid it out. And the Word always goes back to Moses. Then you come to Paul, then you come to Jesus. You come to William Branham. But always God is there, see? Notice, over the Old Testament and Jesus the New Testament. Remember that? What was that? In the message of grace, the three rainbows were there? He approached it to very there was God, and not that form now, but letting himself be reflected as three great rainbows. God in three offices. Said Jehovah the Old Testament, Jesus the New. He's the same God, just changing his form. See? Now that's as far as we're going to go. That's the page, well, we got from page 2 to page 8. That's not too bad for one sitting. All right? Let's rise at this time, shall we? Wednesday at 8 o'clock, 7:30, beg your pardon. Gracious God, eternal Father, again we come unto you, thanking you for a time we have together in your word, Lord, realizing more and more that what has taken place in our hour. And looking it over and over, Lord, we see that the magnitude of it and understand so much more. Looking, O God, as we look at this now, and we're supposed to look at this now, like that's true, and just taking us on further to another plateau, we believe, by divine grace. We cannot praise you enough, Lord, for thy mercy. We certainly cannot. When we would look at the time and the facts of the hour in which we live, that you stood true to your word. And we realize that we do live by the faith of the Son of God, not by ourselves. We stand here only because of his faith, because what he did, completely justified in him. Lord, it's so hard to relate the human and the divine, but we saw it happen in this hour. May we learn to relate it as never before, O God, and be happy with it and appreciate it, Lord. Stand on it, and then live in the revealed word, Lord. Let the life of your word come forth in our human bodies today. Father, we cannot praise you enough for what you've done for us already. We know that. But God in heaven, quicken us, we pray, to such an extent as we hold the promise before you, as we never held before. We receive this message for our healing. We receive it, Lord, for a complete reconciliation. Absolutely we do, Lord. This is the time of that, Lord. And we believe that in there, that there's a sign of the resurrection. We see it all in there, Lord. We see the condemnation going to the world, but we see the commendation coming to us. We see him as we form around him, around this word, Lord. And we believe that this is right. We know it is right. Where else would we go? What is there to touch this? Certainly it's going to be like the backfiring in the time of Paul. And who will turn on him? The church will turn, even as Israel turned on Paul. No way, so the church has to turn on this. And we thank you, Lord, that it is turning on it. We don't relish a lot of things, but we know, Lord, that this is the hour of a grace that's bestowed upon us. Something, Lord, that's different. It's a much more than ever before. We realize that. So, Father, may we encourage ourselves in the Word and with each other, talk it more and more and more. And above all, may the light be released that we might live it, Lord. That's the thing that gives us a shudder as we think, oh, God, can we live it? And we know in your Word, there is the truth. It can be lived. And it will be lived. That's one thing, because your Word can't fail. Whether your Word, Lord, was in a human being or in an angel, your Word has to live. It will not fail. But like Mary, we want to say, be it unto me according to thy word. Oh, God. And in faith, she knew it would happen, Lord. Caleb and Joshua knew it would happen. People know these things happen. We can know today. So, Father in heaven, may we take and understand and have an assurance we have never had before concerning the prophet, the message, and you in our midst revealed. And we, Lord, coming right up to be the revealed and manifested sons of God. Not what we might think, but the way you have thought it out. And then sharing your glory, Lord. Because that's what it's been all along. People sharing in you and with you. Unto thee we give the praise, the honor, and glory. Heal every sick one amongst us, Lord. This morning we pray. O God in heaven, when we know there's a resurrection standing by and immortality. It's all been laid out there, Lord. May we never falter or fail at this moment in the hour of glory. But rather, Lord, believe thee. And see your glory magnified. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, visible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. All right, let's sing, take the name of Jesus with you.